Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray, O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Faith is also a popular word among Christians, as well it should be. We hear of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes called the Great Hall of Faith. We hear of Noah, Abraham, Moses. We marvel at their faith, the great things that they accomplished for God. Marvel that Noah had the faith to build an ark. Marvel that Abraham had the faith to leave his homeland, that Moses had the faith to march into Pharaoh's throne room and demand the freedom of God's people. Marvel at these great displays of faith and wonder, where in our mundane lives, where in our day-to-day, could we ever hope to show such courage or to live in such faith? We wonder whether our faith or our actions could ever be even worth comparing to those great actions of faith that we hear about from our biblical heroes. But there's a detail that we often leave out, and it's no small detail. Take, for example, the account of Abraham and Isaac that's alluded to in the reading from Hebrews today. That narrative is part of the larger history of Abraham, which itself is part of the larger history of Israel, which itself is part of the larger history of salvation. God had spoken several specific promises to Abraham. He promised Abraham that his descendants would possess the land across the Jordan, which is where it gets the name Promised Land. He promised Abraham that he would have a son, and that through that son, Abraham would have descendants as numerous as the stars and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And he also promised Abraham that one of those numerous descendants would be the Messiah, the one through whom all nations would be blessed. Those four promises are in the background of every single Abraham story in the book of Genesis. When Isaac was born to Sarah at a time when she and Abraham were well beyond the age of childbearing, it was a miraculous indication to Abraham that God would fulfill all of the promises that he had made. And as the writer of Hebrews reminds us, God specifically told Abraham that the other promises, the promises of descendants and Messiah, he promised that those would be fulfilled through the children of Isaac. Abraham had received a specific word from God regarding Isaac. God had said in no uncertain terms that Isaac would have children. So fast forward a few years to the time when Isaac is grown, but not yet married, not yet a father. God steps in and tells Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Hebrews tells us this was a test of Abraham's faith, but what specifically is being tested? Is it a test to see if Abraham loves God more than he loves Isaac? Is it a test to see if Abraham will blindly follow God's directions? No, it's neither of those things. This is a test to see whether or not Abraham believes that God is a God who keeps his promises. Isaac did not yet have children. God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, but God had already promised Abraham that Isaac's descendants would be as numerous as the stars and as countless as the sand. God had already promised Abraham that one of Isaac's descendants would be the Messiah. God had even sealed that promise through the blood of circumcision. God does not break his promises. So Hebrews tells us that Abraham understood that. He considered that God was even able to raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham knew God could not allow Isaac to stay dead because the promise that God had already made had not yet been fulfilled. Yes, Abraham displayed great faith, but his faith was in a word of promise, a promise that God had given him concerning Isaac by name. Through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Maybe put it another way. Faith is trust, but it's only as strong as that thing in which it trusts. I've used the analogy before, and I promise I'll use it again. Faith is the hand that reaches out and takes hold of the promises of God. So picture the window washer on the 75th floor of the building. His platform gives way and he starts to fall. He's going to reach out and grab hold of something, whatever he can. If he grabs onto the squeegee, that won't stop his fall. He needs to grab onto the rope. But even then, if the rope's not securely connected to something on the roof, it doesn't matter how strong the man's grip is, it will be of no use to him. The grip of the man is not as important as the strength and reliability of the rope. Faith is the hand that reaches out and takes hold of the promises of God. Yes, Abraham's faith was strong, but not because Abraham was strong, not because of Abraham's grip, so to speak, not because he was especially skilled at believing. No, Abraham's faith was strong because he trusted in God's promise. And God keeps his promises. Abraham's faith was strong because the word of God that Abraham trusted is unbreakable. So even though Abraham did not know how God would work it out, he trusted the sure and certain promise that he had concerning Isaac. And so if we are going to contemplate the gift of faith, the important question is really, what strong and unbreakable promises has God made to us? We started today's service with a beautiful hymn about the gift of baptism. It's full of God's promises to you. Promises connected to the water with which you were washed. Abraham had great confidence before God because the promises connected to circumcision. We have great confidence before God because the promises connected to our baptism. Sin can disturb your soul no longer. You are baptized into Christ. No longer can a guilty conscience weigh you down. You have been cleansed in Jesus' sacrifice. Satan, hear this proclamation. We are baptized into Christ. So drop the ugly accusations. Now that to the font you've traveled, all of Satan's might has come unraveled. And against Satan's tyranny, God your Lord unites with you. And not even death can end your gladness, for you are baptized into Christ. A child of paradise, the sure and certain promise of salvation won for you by our Lord himself, given to you through the water of baptism. It's the promise of all promises. And so when we hear the history of those heroes in Hebrews 11, we are called to follow their example, but it's their example of faith that we are to emulate. Our confessions put it like this. Since callings vary, the call of David to be a king or Abraham to sacrifice his son, those are not for us to imitate. Callings are personal. So each of us with true faith is to obey his own personal callings. So maybe you haven't done anything in your life that is the same universal historical significance as Noah. But God hasn't necessarily called you to that. He's not given you a promise concerning that. The examples of the faithful men and women of Scripture are patterns for us only in that we resemble them in faithfulness to their tasks. Not that we make their tasks our own. No, we show faithfulness in our tasks. So what are those tasks? What has God called us to? Well, Luther would have us consider our stations in life. As parents, he calls us to train up our children in his word. He's called children to obey their parents, to honor their father and mother. As citizens, we ought to give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's, living peaceably under the authority of the government in our land, for there is no authority except that which comes from God. Husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives submit to their husbands as to the Lord himself. Employees work wholeheartedly as if they were serving the Lord, not just mere men. And employers treat their workers fairly. All of us have been called to pray for others, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, how this works out in your day-to-day life is going to be different than how it looked in Abraham's life or in Noah's life. It'll be different than how it looks in my life. But it always comes back to the promises that God has made to you. The Scripture is filled with examples of people who lived their various daily lives trusting in the promises of God. And since then, we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight. Put aside the sin which clings so tightly, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We keep our eyes on Jesus because he is our righteousness. Maybe you won't ever build an ark like Noah did. Yet if through faith in God's word you build a life for your children, providing them with shelter and food and clothing and medicine, whatever else they need, you have fulfilled your vocation just as faithfully as Noah fulfilled his. And maybe you never march into Pharaoh's palace like Moses. Yet if you faithfully confess to your family and friends the truth and the hope and the comfort of God's word in the face of the opposition the world around you throws, then you have fulfilled your vocation just as faithfully as Moses fulfilled his. You will almost certainly never be called to sacrifice your child on a mountainside. And yet because our Lord himself sacrificed his only son for you, you can live in the sure and certain confidence that your sin is forgiven, and that you are right with God. Faith in that reality equips us for whatever manner of service happens to show up in our daily life. So we need not be bothered by questions of whether or not our service compares to Abraham's. We rejoice that our Lord would use us in his service at all. We don't live under the burden of comparing our life to the life of Noah, but living in the knowledge of what our Lord has done for us, we are free simply to address the tasks at hand, whatever those may be, confident that our service is just as pleasing in God's eyes as the great deeds of Moses, because it's done in faith toward God and in love for your neighbor. May our Lord grant us the faith to trust his sure and certain promises and to live lives that reflect this love to the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.